Ah, what's that sound? I think it's the sound of Cousin Rick calling in from Needham, Massachusetts. Cousin Rick, are you there?
Good morning, RT.
Good morning. All right.
You got to love that sound.
You got to love that sound. I know.
It's like getting a back scratch.
I know. I feel like I got cat scratch fever right now.
Well, that's something else.
Yeah, it is. Okay.
Well, that's somebody else, too.
Yeah, it is. I know. So you got a ride of the week for us.
Oh, we got a cool ride of the week. The 2019 Honda Civic 1.5T 4D Touring Edition. Okay. Now, Honda has some great looking cars. They've got this paint that just stands out. And people come up to me and say, wow, that's a great looking car. And this is in cosmic blue.
Cosmic blue.
Yes. It's kind of a metallic-y, deep blue color.
Mm-hmm.
And so Honda has really gotten their paint act together.
Mm-hmm.
And, this car, the Honda Civic 1.5T, it's a 1.5-liter direct injection turbocharged four-cylinder engine, 174 horsepower. And it's mated to a continuously variable transmission. But if you want to get a somewhat manual transmission feel, you have paddle shifters on the steering wheel, behind the steering wheel.
Mm-hmm.
And, this car, it's completely five-star safety rated, five-star safety rating. And in every category, frontal crash, side crash, passenger, driver, it's got a five-star safety rating. And for those of you who are conscious of mileage and minimizing our environmental impact, it gets EPA rating of 33 miles per gallon combined, 30 in the city and 38 on the highway. But you have a eco mode, which you can just push a button on. And even with the air conditioning on, I was getting close to 40 miles per gallon on the highway.
Hmm.
Yeah, even with the air conditioning on. So that's pretty good for a non-hybrid car.
Yeah, definitely.
Yep. And the car itself is made in Greensburg, Indiana.
Hmm.
And the engine comes from the U.S. and the transmission comes from the U.S.
All right.
And the 25% of the car comes from Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but Honda has been packing in technology into their vehicles. That this car comes with the Honda Sensing package, and it's got adaptive cruise control, which is radar-based cruise control that maintains your spacing in traffic on the highway. It's got a collision mitigation braking system, lane departure warning, lane keeping assist, and forward collision warning. Also, it has auto high beams on and off, LED headlights. It's got remote engine start. It comes with Apple CarPlay, Android Auto, and it has a premium 10-speaker audio system.
Mm.
So even heated rear seats. The rear seats are heated. And all of this is for $28,220 MSRP.
Wow. Right.
Including, about $920 of destination and handling charge.
Mm. A nice price.
Yes.
Very good. Very good.
No CD player, but...
Well, you know.
Nice nonetheless.
We'll get over it, you know. Hey, I did want to ask you, and I don't want to put you on the spot, so you could defer maybe to next week. I meant to ask beforehand, but I was just wondering your view on the whole EPA kerfluffle, this whole thing with California regulations and
the Trump administration is trying to clamp down on California having its own emissions standards.
Exactly, yes.
Yes. Well, I heard the argument, they're imposing their standards on the other states. But you've got to look at it from the other side. They're imposing their standards to keep their citizens healthy and safe. And also, how many other states have signed on to the California agreement? You know, 15
right.
others.
Right.
And the automotive industry, they don't want to have two sets of cars. And they're getting, environmentally conscious. So that's more or less where I stand. It's just another step back from the way the rest of the world is going.
Right. It is unbelievable. But the one thing, though, I am curious about, and I don't know if you have any speculation, I was wondering how this will actually, well, of course, there's going to be court fights and all kinds of things like that. But I was thinking that if all these, auto manufacturers are on board and all these states are on board, and I'm wondering, even if they did, relax the rules, I was just wondering if the manufacturers would conform to the old rules anyway, the stricter rules anyway, because it makes more sense, for everybody. But
plus, they were developing the technology all along.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
So anyway,
okay. We'll have to see how it shakes out. It might get fast tracked to the Supreme Court.
Yes.
Yes. Might.
So that's something to keep an eye on. Yeah.
Right. But then people can vote with their votes next year.
Oh yes.
Yes.
And. Impeach. Anyway, let's not get into politics. What other, do you have other automotive news for us?
Oh, yeah. We, last week at the semi-secret world headquarters of the New England Motor Press Association, Acura paid us a visit to kind of give us a debriefing on what vehicles they're developing and their company philosophy. And I don't really have time to get into much of it, but if you go to rpmnewsweekly.com, you'll see an interview with their brand officer, John Nakata, and he had an interesting story to tell of his journey up through the ranks in the auto industry and kind of the philosophy of I'm looking at the wrong thing here, of Acura, of their... Yeah. I was thinking of the N of the Acura NSX, which caused me to slip there. Mm-hmm. But Acura has their halo car, the NSX sports car, and that's a halo car. It kind of pulls people into the dealership. They consider themselves a performance brand and not a high volume brand. And in that vein, they've developed the TLX performance sedan, and they showed us the PMC edition, which they're only building 360 of at their performance manufacturing center down in Marysville, Ohio. And like I said, Honda has this great paint, and Acura, which is a Honda company, has this super paint on this PMC edition, Performance Manufacturing Center edition. It's called Valencia Red Pearl. And usually the paints on the car maybe take a day to cure, but this paint, there's so many layers of different clear coats and paints with different depths and lustrous finishes and so on. It takes 5 days to cure. And in the Performance Manufacturing Center, the Acura has their most senior and most talented people assembling the cars. So they're kind of like exclusive cars, but it's somewhat affordable. This is around $50,000. So you can still get one if you want.
Hmm.
And but Acura was... John Nakata was saying that you have to have, their philosophy is to have great entry-level vehicles in terms of price and fun to drive, because he had pointed out that surveys show that the average person maybe buys 6 or 7 cars in their lifetime. So if you could give them a great car the first time that they buy a brand, you maybe have them for life if they really enjoy and feel that they're getting good value in the brand.
Hmm.
If you capture a customer early, you can have them for life, him or her.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was, but again, go to rpmnewsweekly.com and you'll see more from him. He was an interesting guy.
Okay. Well, let's see, any other automotive or perhaps a Musk minute?
Let's go automotive and then go Musk.
Okay, very good.
If we must, go Musk.
Yes.
Okay, but this is kind of scary. It's kind of cool, but kind of scary. A company called AccuSensus out of Melbourne, Australia, has a system that will detect distracted drivers. Basically, they've demonstrated this, that it's a system of cameras that peers into cars, and through algorithms, you can tell if somebody is on their cell phone. So this way, they could read your license plate, and if you were driving distracted, they could send you a warning or a summons. So it's kind of cool. You know, you want to get rid of distracted driving, but at the same time...
Yeah, holy Big Brother.
Big Brother is watching you. So we'll have to see how this works out.
You mean I can't shave in my car anymore?
Well, if you use an electric razor...
That's okay.
Yeah. You remind me, when I was working on Long Island, there was a guy, you'd see him go zipping by us every day on the Long Island Expressway. Of course, we were heading out when I was working as a flight test engineer at Grumman. We were heading out to the island, and this guy go by us shaving with his electric razor.
Yeah,
and
amazing.
It turned out he was one of the people we worked with.
And, you know, not to mention the people, you know, putting on makeup or reading the paper.
I know.
Those are the traditional methods of distraction, you know, before cell phones, you know. Okay, well, how about a Musk Minute? You have a Musk
Minute? Okay, the Musk Minute. Everybody is eagerly awaiting Saturday, September 28th, for Elon Musk's big presentation on the Starship. What it's going to actually look like, what it's going to do, and so on. And they've been building this down in Boca Chica, Texas. They're building one in Melbourne, Florida as well. Or Melbourne, Florida. Sorry, I still have my Melbourne, Australian accent there.
Yeah.
And, it seems they keep changing this around, although I think they kind of hold the changes back to keep interest up, that it looks like they keep revising the design. Now it has apparently two fins in the back and separate landing legs, and the fins themselves would fold up against the body when the Starship, which is looks like a long, a fat cylinder with a pointy nose, it'll go straight up, and then when they're recovering this, it would come down sideways to dissipate the heat. And use these fins for getting it to turn around so the engines point to the ground to land vertically. And there'll also be little canard fins in the front to help turn it around.
Hmm.
But also, perhaps the big news with Elon this week is not even technical. The fact that the company's facility in Boca Chica, Texas, which is like a small beach town of maybe 20 to 30 houses along one street, the company went down there, and now they figure that their operations there are going to get so larger in the future and more activity that it would not benefit the residents to stay there. So they're offering a buyout to people along the beach there of three times the assessed valuation of three times the market value, rather, of their houses. And they said, you have 2 weeks to respond to this offer, and it's non-negotiable.
Hmm.
So, but, you know, nothing is non-negotiable.
Yeah, right.
Because obviously, if they refuse the offer, it's negotiable.
Yeah, right.
Yes. And then you want to get into maybe some eminent domain, because some of the local government officials think that SpaceX obviously is an economic boon to the area. So we'll have to see how this works out.
Right. They'll be interesting. See if there are any holdouts, like Wasn't there that guy? There was something, you know, like, I don't know, what was it? Somewhere in New York City where there's some little hole in the wall, like a cigar shop or something, and, like this huge complex skyscraper.
And they built it around him. That's right.
Okay. Well, and anything else you have for us today?
Oh, yeah. We're chock-a-block here, if you want to use that expression. Okay. But NASA has announced its 2019 Government Invention of the Year, and it's called the Miniaturized High-Speed Modulated X-Ray Source, or MXS. And that sounds like a mouthful, but basically what happened was, in developing an instrument for the International Space Station that would peer out and look at X-ray sources in the universe, like a telescope, they developed a X-ray beacon at the Goddard Space Flight Center. It's an X-ray source that would test the instrument, the telescope, and it could change its output and brightness and, you know, did all kinds of things in order to test this instrument for the space station. Well, the folks at NASA and Massachusetts General Hospital and MIT figured they would use this to develop a CT scanner, a portable, no-moving-parts imaging system that could fine-tune the radiation dose. And because this thing is so small and light and it's fairly rugged, that it would be fairly portable and could have applications in medical facilities, maybe in mobile facilities or in rural labs where there's not so much coverage of such fine X-ray techniques. And so they awarded that the Government Invention of the Year.
Very interesting.
So it's kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah. Sounds good. Okay, do you have anything else for us today?
Well, you want me to keep going?
Let's at least one more anyway.
One more?
One more, yes.
Okay, well, Georgia Tech, the folks at Georgia Tech have developed a wearable medical sensor that you can, the problems with a lot of these medical sensors, you can't really wear them long term because they either fall off or irritate the skin. And they've developed a sensor-based, you don't need any of this, like when you go for an electrocardiogram, they put a metallic sensor on you with some sticky gel and so on. But this, it's just a patch based on medical tape or wound healing type tape. And so it doesn't affect the skin, yet the gold sensors in there conform to the skin and can form a long-term sensor that you can wear for a couple of weeks and for monitoring purposes. Or you can just have it on like a piece of medical tape for, say, a test in the hospital that you don't have to get suited up for with all these sensors, and you can walk around and they can monitor your heart rate and respiration for doing various activities.
Very interesting. Yeah. Yeah, it reminds me, again, kind of a small thing, but I realize that, I guess this has, you know, been in effect for a number of years now, but I have to say that they have perfected the adhesive properties of bandages. Like when you get a blood draw, you know, they're like perfect. You know, they hold the cotton in place, yet they're easy to take off the skin and don't rip your hair out. It's like, you know.
Okay. Oh, yeah, because they stick to each other and not to you.
Right, right. So it's like, you know, again, a lot of these things, you know, they're kind of like small things, but it's like, gee, that makes my life better, I think, you know. So.
Well, it was always fun. Do you pull it slow or you pull it quick?
Yeah, right. Yeah, and have that little bear patch, you know, on your arm. So, actually, before we go, though, I'm curious. Are you looking forward to Brad Pitt in Ad Astra?
Not particularly. I'll watch it on DVD. Well, you go to show how old-fashioned I am, DVD.
Yes.
But I'll watch it when it's not in the theater.
Yeah, yeah.
It could be interesting.
It could be interesting.
Yeah.
You know, so.
The thing is, when you go see these things, you're always saying, oh, what's going to be accurate and what's not? And now you can just let your mind go and watch this thing.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. So, okay, well, so is that a wrap for today?
That's a wrap. Glad we could get together.
Glad we could. Let's do it again next week. Okay. So that was Cousin Rick calling in from Needham, Massachusetts, and Rick's Tech Talk.